Viticulturist Pete Chapman from Terrace Edge on the south bank of the Waipara River in North Canterbury has been putting in some long hours on the tractor this week. Cosmo Kentish Barnes caught up with Pete on the organic vineyard to find out how things are going.
We bought this land in 1999. It was always a family project, so I got interested in it when I was still at school and went on to study. And yeah, gradually it started as a weekend hobby and gradually got completely out of control and fully fledged business now. So yeah, it's been a process from that year of planting out, and now to this day we've got 13 and a half hectares of vines, and we've got an olive grove well also of about 5 hectares.
Yes. Yeah. Did the olive trees go in first? Because they look quite established.
They did. That was the first thing we got stuck into. Yeah.
And tell me about the grapes here. What sort of varieties do you grow?
Yeah, we're in one of our oldest Pinot Noir blocks here, and it's been growing really quite nicely, apart from we've had challenges of a few frosts, and they're actually flowering earlier than I've seen for a very long time. So yeah, this warm conditions we've got, we're tracking ahead of usual, which is not a bad thing. Yeah, they're shaping up really nicely.
Was the vineyard originally a conventional operation? When did you switch to organics?
Yeah, we started the vineyard in 1999 and started planting out, and just really were learning as we went and started conventionally. And then it wasn't until 2011 that we started the organic process of certification.
What prompted you to head in that direction?
Well, it was actually watching a neighbour go through the process and seeing the results. It was really just thinking about sort of having to put on all this gear and not touch these chemicals we were putting on, and then thinking about the fact that we were actually eating that, which didn't make a lot of sense. So it was around longevity for the land and around, you know, health of people, and most importantly, actually, we believe that it makes better wine.
So what have been some of your biggest learning curves since you've gone organic?
Really, for us, the biggest difference is the management of weeds around the vines, and that's involved just learning good techniques and getting good equipment. We've got some good systems now for dealing to those, but if you imagine trying to weed right up around the base of each vine, around, you know, 30 or 40,000 vines is quite a job. So yeah, that's probably been one of the biggest learning curves. But as far as that, we just use all, it's sort of not a thing of do nothing. Some people sort of think organic is just don't really do much, let them do their thing. But we have to be very proactive, putting on a lot of natural compounds which will prevent disease rather than coming in and trying to eradicate any issues. Yeah.
And do you put plants in between the vines to control pests?
We do. We're just actually setting that up today. You'll see some of these rows have been cultivated. They're just about to run through again, and then we'll go through with our seed drill to plant species such as phacelia, buckwheat, and these ones have been proven at Lincoln University actually to attract a little beneficial wasp, which then goes to the grape flowers and kills any caterpillars. We get issues with caterpillars in the industry, causing disease late season. So really nice organic method there that really does work. Yeah.
Would that be the leaf roller caterpillar?
Yes, correct.
Yeah, which can do heaps of damage.
It certainly can. It's an issue on a lot of crops, and yeah, one which is pretty cool to be able to deal to organically.
Now tell me about the soil here. Yeah. What is it about this soil that helps make great wine?
Yeah, we believe that the organic processes we've been using for many years has made it even better than it was when we first got here. But starting from the base, it's got a nice fertile sort of silt loam topsoil, but then goes down to these gravel parent material underneath. And the vines have really sunk their roots down into that now. And yeah, we find that it naturally devigorates the vines a bit. And what you find, if a vine has to work a little bit harder, it sometimes will produce a more concentrated, flavoursome fruit. So it's a combination of things, and we have found that our organic matter over time has increased, which is such an important thing for soil, and everything we do sort of aimed at looking after that side of things that you can't even see.
Do you have sheep coming in?
Yeah, we use sheep for grazing down the weeds around the vines. So that's a really nice element to have that animal influence on the soil and deal to the weeds. And then also occasionally we bring them in later in the season, and it's quite amazing. They'll tend to pluck the leaves from around the fruit. Mm. And if you do it at the right time when the bunches are still green, haven't got enough sugar yet, they don't like the taste of the grape. And you have to watch them like a hawk, though, because there is the odd one that might get a taste for it and then they tell their mates, and before you know it, I have heard of people ending up with very little crop. So it's one of those balancing acts.
And business-wise, how are things going in terms of, you know, running a high-end boutique vineyard?
Yeah, it's been a real roller coaster with, you know, COVID hit in harvest time of the 2020 vintage. And initially we weren't even sure whether we were going to be able to harvest the grapes, but we were deemed essential industry. Mm. And that was great. We got to just carry on and do our thing, just abiding by, you know, a number of new rules and regulations. Mm. But yeah, brought in a beautiful crop. And I think that was the same for a lot of the industry throughout the country, which is fantastic. And yeah, so we were concerned about obviously how sales would go. They have reduced for us in some markets, but then other ones such as our tasting room, where we have had a number of tourists come, we thought, you know, surely it's going to slow down, but we've had huge take up of domestic tourism and we're actually increased sales. We're well above what we were last year at our tasting room, where we give a really nice sort of family presentation of the wines. And yeah, it's great to be able to see that area growing, that direct to customer.
Mm. How interesting that your business in the tasting room's gone up since COVID.
I wouldn't have picked it, but yeah, it's a great little bonus. As I say, though, other parts down, but that is the area we'd love to keep growing, because we find for a boutique, smaller producer like ourselves, if we can have direct customer sales, is really great.
Yes, and of course your tasting room does happen to have a wonderful view over the terrace, doesn't it?
Mm, yeah, no, it's a great place for people to come and try the wine, and then they can visit one of the steepest vineyards in the country. Actually, we grow Syrah, which is unique for the region, on this 45 degree slope. Yeah.
And what sort of flavour does that Syrah have?
Ours is more like that cooler climate French style, and it gets a lot of spice. It gets really hot during the day, but then cools down during the night, which is this unique diurnal sort of variation between temperature, and that's what you find in cool climate viticulture. If you can get that happening, then you retain acidity, but then you also get these all these lovely flavours happening.
And when the grapes are harvested, where does the wine get made?
So yeah, we handpick out most of our grapes and then we transport them. We don't have our own wine making facility on site here. We made that call right near the start that Muddy Water, who do some contract winemaking, Gavin Tate there, who actually went through university with, does our winemaking. And yeah, we've been working with them for a long time, and it's fantastic. They've got such a good facility that for me, there's just no point in everyone having their own one. They make the wines very much to the style that we want and collaborate really well, so it's fantastic.
Now tell me about your 27 Seconds wine label. How's that project going?
Yeah, well, I'll give you a quick little synopsis of what it is. Basically, my wife and I were travelling through India, and I've been in the wine industry a long time, and she was at the time working for an NGO, and we came across human trafficking and just wanted to do something to help, but felt rather like we couldn't, you know, and the wine industry, human trafficking, not really sort of a combination you'd know. But yeah, we eventually ended up deciding to make a wine brand that where 100% of the profits go to Hagar, who work with survivors of human trafficking in Afghanistan, Cambodia and Vietnam. So it's been a process. We've been going about 3 years now, but it's been fantastic. The adoption of it's been great. We knew right from the start the wine had to be good quality. People might, you know, identify with the cause the first time they try it, but they're only going to keep coming back if it's actually good wine. So most of the fruit has all come on from our own vineyard. So they're certified organic. And, yeah, it's been fantastic to be able to combine two of my passions, I guess, you know, making nice wine and, yeah, trying to help the people that really need it.
What sort of human trafficking did you come across on your travels that made you want to do something to help?
Well, we were visiting friends in Calcutta who have developed a business primarily to help give people that have been caught up in the red light district of Calcutta, Sonagachi. And so it's an alternative employment there. And so we visited there, and Kerry, who developed that business, took us, Alana and I, through the red light district there. And it was a real eye-opener. And it was even more so when we came across some younger girls, and Alana asked, where are those girls from? Because they look different to the rest of the people there. And he explained to us that most probably that these younger girls will have been trafficked from Nepal, most probably with the promise of work in a restaurant or somewhere from large families. And their parents are quite happy to find good work for their children. And before they know it, they're in a country which is a different language, different culture, and on their own, and being sold.
Yes, awful. Mm.
Yeah, pretty horrific.
Why have you called the label 27 seconds? What does it mean?
Yeah, well, we found that there's a crazy stat from UNICEF that somewhere in the world a child every 27 seconds is sold or trafficked into slavery. So we really moved by that crazy stat and just wanted to do something small to help.
How much money have you raised so far?
We've given $25,000 already, and we're about to give another similar donation soon. So we're looking forward to be giving a lot more in the future.
Yes.
But some of it obviously has to go to the costs of creating the wine.
Mm. And what sort of varieties of wine come under that label?
We make a Pinot Noir, Riesling, which are two that Waipara and North Canterbury are really well known for. And then we've got the Pinot Gris, Sauvignon Blanc. And I guess the 27 seconds would be more of a crowd pleaser commercial sort of style, whereas some of the Terrace Edge wine might be more, you know, instead of just being fruity, it might have more savoury and other complexities. So it's really aiming it for the price point and making what the consumer will be after and enjoy.
So nice for people who buy the wine to know that all the profits are going towards such a great cause.
Yeah, it's pretty cool about it to do something to help. But we have had a number of suppliers within the wine industry who have donated their time and continue to do so. One that really stands out is Mark Eder, the local contractor who does harvesting. Each year I've said to him, oh, if you could help us out a tiny bit, that'd be great. You know, we discount, that'd be cool. But he's gone and said that he'll do it all for free, the harvesting. So that's pretty amazing. There's been a number of really cool stories like that.
Very generous.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
And
yeah.
You get volunteers to do the picking as well, but of course this year you didn't because of COVID.
Mm. Yeah, we hand-pick the red varieties and machine-pick the whites. So that's where the contractor comes in with the machine harvester. But with the reds in the past, we have had close to 25 people volunteer there Saturday to come and help pick grapes for what is such a worthy cause.
Is this a long-term project for you?
It started off not quite knowing how it would go, but it really has developed. And the most important thing is, you know, it's all very well us coming up with this idea, but it's the consumers that have really run with it. And we've gone from just thinking we'd sell it online to now being in almost all the New World supermarkets in Christchurch. And we see it as a really sustainable model of, you know, not every business's focus has to be creating profits for shareholders. You know, it can be doing something else with that money.
What's it like for you growing grapes, being in the outdoors? It's a lovely day today. How special is it for you to be here working on the land?
Yeah, I really enjoy it. Farming is farming at the end of the day, has its ups and downs. You know, we were talking about frost before, so you can do everything you can, but Mother Nature will take its turn. But I love the concept of being able to work with the land and create something that's hopefully really nice and people enjoy, and that lasts for a long time in the bottle. It's pretty cool, pretty special thing to be able to do.
Viticulturist Pete Chapman talking to Cosmo at the Terrace Edge Vineyard in North Canterbury's Waipara Valley.